How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel. It's part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, ah, fuck off.
Welcome, welcome to the Sound of Succession. I'm Jamie East.
And I am Chris Mandel.
And you were joining us at very early. I think this is our earliest record yet on a bank holiday Monday.
Earliest episode ever. We just had to... We wanted to get something out early because of the bank holiday, because a lot of people will be watching this episode early.
Exactly.
Because we've all, most of us have got the day off.
We'll still be... After we finish saluting our king.
Yes. I'll be saluting the whole time. We're on just out of pure national pride.
I know.
Did you watch any of the coronation?
I saw. I saw our king get crowned whilst I was in an atrium cafe, waiting for my son to finish his drama class. And just at the moment that the crown was lowered onto his head, some daft woman stood up, walked over, took in front of the television to take a photograph of it with her phone.
So great.
That's gonna be my everlasting light. Once I watched it for the, it was kind of interesting to watch. I'm not a royalist by any stretch of the imagination, but it was it's kind of one of those things where I was alive when this happened, kind of thing. Then the concert last night was pretty appalling though, right?
I didn't see any of it. Didn't even see anyone talking about the concert.
You dodged a bullet.
Didn't watch that. I saw some of the coronation on the screen in the lobby of a Hilton hotel because I was in Canterbury for the weekend at a family wedding.
Oh wow! Oh good.
Well, it was like a sort of it's my brother's in-laws, like that side of the family. We were just there for the do. So we were sort of to-ing and fro-ing during the day and went through the lobby of the Hilton and saw about 4 seconds of the coronation. It looked fine.
You got the whole gist of it. Got the whole gist of it.
Speaking of king-making.
Oh, good segue. Check that out.
That was all happening in this episode of Succession. We had the tailgate party, kind of like a election night.
Ten hours before the polls were due to open. Before the voting was allowed to open. Which is kind of a weird. Normally weird in the UK, in the UK you have election night parties. Maybe it's because they're all probably working on election night, I guess. Which is why Tom probably.
Yeah, and I think also isn't the it's they're celebrating the beginning of the cycle. Voting.
Yeah.
I guess because they do, elections do take a lot longer for them to tally up, and they're all done differently sort of in certain states, aren't they? It's all quite
still
a complicated.
Very confusing. Even after all the furore of the 2020, I still don't really understand the whole college vote system and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
it's pretty complicated.
One of those things that when you see it written down, I had to learn a little bit about it when I was studying, when I did my journalism qualification. We did British
nice drop
first past
there.
The post.
I don't know if anyone else caught that. Chris has got a journalism qualification.
NCTJ qualified, baby. But you do learn a bit about politics. And I remember what I learned about US voting is that when you see it written down, how it works, it just blows your mind that someone thought, this is a good way to decide something this important.
This is a simple black and white way of working out who should be the leader of the free
world. Do you know, like, sometimes if someone is explaining, like, a game show to you that either you've not watched or it's in, like, Norway.
It's quizzle sticks.
And they're like, it's really straightforward. So every narc has a Blugan, and every three times, except when it happens five times, it goes over here. And you're like, who came up with this?
I am that with every board game ever.
Yeah.
Like Uno, I get the gist of it. I'm not interested in the intricacies of it. But yeah. We are waffling a bit. So let's get you said just before the before we hit record that lots of individual bits were really, really interesting.
Yeah.
You weren't kind of blown away by the whole arc of it.
I think I'm going to just come out of the blocks and say it.
Go on.
Not my favourite episode. My least favourite episode of the season. I think it's one of the weaker episodes. Generally, on the whole. I think save for, obviously there's amazing character moments, not denying people smashed it. But it was kind of felt like going through the motions a bit, you know? You sort of know the general layout of where this episode is going to go.
I think it was a regroup. It's kind of set us up for the final trimester of episodes. I think the final kind of trilogy of episodes. I think, let's go through the main kind of heartbeats were Mattson is kind of exposed a little bit as a bit of an emperor with no clothes. Tom is in all sorts of trouble with his job. He's clearly, no one wants to keep him at top of ATN. ATN as a kind of whole just seems to be absolutely just despised by both sides. And the big showdown between Shiv and Tom was the emotional kind of
outstanding
emotional heartbeat of it. But it was pretty good in terms, like you say, lots of individual kind of really scenes to kind of salivate over, but not huge development in terms of other than the fact, like, the final bit between Frank and Ken, it's, you know, the curtain is pulled back and we see what the final gameplay is going to be, and that is going to be that Ken is going to try and just take the whole thing for himself and buy Gojo.
So we got a tease of this in the preview, which we watched on last week's
The Reverse
pod.
Viking.
The Reverse Viking is actually damaged
Gojo.
Did we guess
it? I think we might have guessed. Did we guess it?
I don't know. I was a little shocked when I saw it. So they want to make Gojo so shit that they can acquire it.
Mm.
Not because they understand the business, not because they want to add this to their portfolio, purely just out of spite, out of, you know, it's...
Yeah,
I saw a lot this episode. It was a very sort of Jurassic approach to business, which was like, I'm going to eat you because you might eat me. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, looking after oneself on pure principles. They don't want Gojo at all. They don't want to have to deal with the subscriber fallout where it turns out that Lucas has doubled the amount of people that are subscribing in India.
Yeah. Packing peanuts.
Yeah, they don't want to have to actually... Yeah. They haven't got a way of dealing with that. They haven't got a strategy. They just think, well, we want to get rid of you. We don't like you.
Yeah, I think acquiring Gojo is the only real way that they'll get rid of Mattson in the eyes of the board.
It's just to fuck him over, right?
Yeah.
You love this thing. I'm going to take it off you and break it.
Well, I saw it as a plan B after Ken realised that
Oh, I see.
I saw it as a kind of like, right, he scrabbled around a bit and this was his next play, because he originally trying to get rid of Mattson by through the regulatory. That was the whole kind of thing with Shiv, Roman and Ken kind of going off and schmoozing the 40 tastemakers and mouthpieces of the nation. Mm. And when that failed, when Nate basically, you know, there was that great, oh, in fact, here, this is what happened.
Don't play hall monitor with me, bro. Right? I know you. I know who you are, my friend.
I don't know what you think this is. I'm not Gil. You're not Logan. That's a good thing.
So, yeah, we saw a slight return from Nate. And that was the moment where he realized that actually, you know, everyone else has moved on. Everyone else has seized Logan's death as an opportunity to wipe the slate clean, whereas Kendall's very much kind of like, the slate's still filthy. It's just that I'm in charge of the slate now. So I saw the whole Mattson play as him kind of like, right, that's clearly not going to work. How else can I get rid of this guy, given the fact I've just had a stand-up, very weird argument with him in, in front of everyone?
Yeah, the vibes at this party, it was, you know, everything did get quite deranged as the evening went on and everyone was drinking more of Tom's, don't call it German wine.
Sophisticated.
It started off, you know, we saw the opening, it was everyone arriving, paparazzi, getting out of their town cars, you know, it's all kind of very glitzy. And then by the end, everyone is arguing, shouting at one another. People are having, the coat room seemed to be, I mean, people say the kitchen is where these parties pop off. The coat room was where all the deals were happening. Amazing.
There were also far more than 40 coats in that. I don't know the set designers. I don't know if you had a look at that. There were like, what, 40 people in that house? You
walk into that coat room,
there were at least 150 coats in there.
Maybe I just loved that they were sort of like, not just in rows, there was like a sort of interior corridor of coats, which I just...
great.
If you were a kid and you like running around in coat rooms, that would be absolutely great. There's 1% as Narnia in there. Yeah. I just thought, so just to get back to some of my kind of criticisms, was kind of like, I just felt the show relies on the same mechanisms to work. And that's fine. Like, we love Succession. But I felt like the feedback loop was kind of, I just wasn't getting as much. Like, I also think first real time, I think there's a real Logan-shaped hole in this, because it's kind of fun to watch everything falling apart. But when you have Logan, there was always this sense that there was an adult in the room, and now there isn't. It does feel a little, a bit kind of, I'm going to say, aimless at times.
We're not Succession shill. By any stretch.
We're not affiliated with HBO.
We're not affiliated with HBO. But look, we're not. I thought more of it than you, which is. I take what you say. I just always saw it as a bit of a regroup and had to kind of like almost put the whole dad's dead thing to bed, so to speak, even though we did have that, like, that bit at the beginning where it's like this.
I just came from seeing Pop.
Ow, again?
Yeah. Oh, any change?
Looking good. Yeah. Woke up on the right side of the coffin today, boy.
So, just a little reminder of that breakfast meeting where they had the best table in the best breakfast place in Manhattan. Yeah. No one ate or drank a thing, and it lasted for at least 90 seconds. Do you think they started to pay for that table?
Oh, my God, yeah. I wonder if people that rich just have a constant, like...
Just
charge us a monthly fee.
Probably. But we just got a little reminder from Connor that the funeral is looming, and it sets up.
Looming,
Again, like prepping. So there was that thing I put up on Twitter that someone had spotted the titles of the show, of the episodes. So we think that next week is the election and episode 9 is the funeral.
Yes, you did share that. That's very, very interesting.
Thanks to Mad Bambi for spotting that. So
Connor, the detail I loved in this, Connor has been visiting, checking in on Logan's body, and like, none of the kids have. Which is the thing you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the thing that people do. You go and, you know, if you're looking after
more than
the...
once.
Well, I guess Connor has a bit more time on his hands than most of us. But he was very interesting this episode. We found out that he was almost getting towards 3-4% to the point where he was becoming a potential problem for Menken.
For Menken, yeah. He needed that.
Jared Menken, not Alan Menken, as I misnamed a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so some things worked. Maybe it was the wedding with the brass band. But it was, yes, it put Connor in a weird position of power over Roman for the first time and allowed, like, one of my favourite moments was the Connor bite back. So just talk about that. So he became a problem for Menken. Menken thought to himself, right, if this guy just fucking concedes, Connor's probably more right than left. They'll all fall to Menken's wayside. And he wanted that to happen before votes opened so that people voted for Menken rather than him just drop out and those votes just get washed away, I presume.
Yes. I think.
And Connor gets a bit of a taste of like, oh, okay, this is, he seemed as though he kind of expected it. But then they were just like arguing over the most ludicrous kind of like ambassador. What were they offering him? Like an ambassador role?
Menken's team offered him an ambassadorial position to a country. And, you know, this is the brilliant thing about Connor. And I think the thing that is so true to someone like that, he gets offered a job he is unqualified for, and he wants one of the countries in the top 10 GDPs in the world
with nukes.
He's like, yeah, I don't want anything that doesn't have nukes. Doesn't want, what they offered him, like
Mogadishu.
Yeah,
he got offered Mogadishu at first, then it was Oman
in a compound. He got offered Oman was the compound where will it be above ground? And the house they were going to stay in was called the Pearl of Arabia.
So there were flashes of brilliance.
It was. And it's funny, like, he's always been the joke, but it does feel... I think I said on season 3, I was like, Connor being a politician, like, they're trying to do a Trump thing. And they didn't. They did something so much smarter, which is someone who thinks he might be the next Trump.
Yeah.
And isn't. But everything does hit with him. Yeah. Everything about Willa being like, all my family like hate Menken, and Connor being like, look, he doesn't even know why he wants to go, but it's just that proximity to power is just more than...
It's the sense that there was a glimmer of people taking him seriously.
Mm.
That's what it was, I think.
Like, yeah, oh,
I've got a little seat. I've got a tiny little seat at the table. It's right at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's got a bag of crisps and a Coke. But I'm at the table nonetheless. And what I felt about that whole thing was that I think it was showing that Willa has got what she deserved.
Yeah.
What she, you know, be careful what you wish for. Yeah, you've got all the money. Yeah, you've even now got a bit of power, but you're at the Pearl of Arabia compound in Oman, and all of your family are going to hate that you sold your soul, not only for Connor's hand in marriage, but that he's now sold to Menken, you know.
Willa, you know, there's an element of her being like, well, what's he going to do? Divorce me? Like, I'm going to speak up for this. You need me. You've got your first lady now. And this is what... Yeah. And I love that because it's really discreet. You know, they've not been in... I don't think they were even in last week's episode.
No, they weren't.
They use Willa very smartly. And I think two things. She's developed very discreetly into like a very smart, fascinating person on the show. She was a punching bag. She's now in a position where she's got quite a lot of capital. She's got quite a lot of power. Mm-hmm. The other person that I was really intrigued by this week was Greg.
Yeah.
Why? Firstly, we go in and we see him lay off, I don't know, what, like 100 people at ATN.
Here we go. This was great.
There's no easy way of doing this. I've done this a couple of times this week, and sometimes, honestly, it just makes me cry.
It was like the sadder version of Kerry's audition tape, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awful. You know, and Tom's thing, even when he's being like, you know, the corporate bastard, he still goes, oh, it makes me so upset, like he's so wet. So he gets Greg to do the layoffs. Greg reads off the script. Now, I've been in those calls. I'm sure you've been in those calls in any media company where they go, Oh, guys, the only way we can move forward as a company is to get rid of all of you and terminate all of you and yeah. like all the people that are like 7 months pregnant, you're going to get yeah. laid off. I'm so... Ooh,
think about how hard this is for the company.
We've
you?
Looked at every option and this
by the way, your passwords no longer work. We've literally yeah. just... Yeah.
When shortlist, very brief aside on this, when shortlist closed, which was in 2018, mm-hmm. it literally came out of nowhere, right?
Oh, I remember. And yeah, it was actually, yeah, really
strange. There was a meeting put in at, we usually got in at 9:30. There was a meeting put in for like 11. Mm-hmm. I was not in that morning because I went to a screening of the film Can You Ever Forgive Me, which is the Melissa McCarthy one. So the plot of this film, if you haven't seen it, I'm just going to tell you the overarching idea. Melissa McCarthy plays a writer who is past her prime and she can't get work. So she starts selling forged letters from notable authors, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Claiming they're real. She starts making a ton of money. And it gets a bit hairy. The whole idea of this film is really about a writer from another era trying to find their relevance in a world that doesn't want them. And I'm yeah. sitting there in the screening at 9:30 a.m. with my filter coffee, with my nice job in a magazine, thinking, man, life I'm so lucky I'm doing my job in this era and I'm not one of these people that, you know, is like from a bygone era trying to find work. Leave the screening, go to the office, everyone is on the pavements, on their phones, crying, and they're like, they just closed the magazine. And I was like, I didn't hear the announcement because I was too busy going to a film, watching this basically play out a generation ago.
Oh my God.
Of which is to say, these calls are awful. And Greg yeah. did what all of them do, which is read off a script, show yeah. no remorse, and mm-hmm. get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And I thought that's just a funny, huh, Cousin Greg's a complete corporate like shill or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
but we
yeah.
saw it play off because when he was trying to like hang out with Lucas at the party, they were sort of impressed with, as they called him, the Slim Reaper. his apparent doofusness mixed with yeah. his ability to stab you in the back. And I thought that is really like interesting for Greg. Suddenly yeah. he's kind of parrying with the big dogs and he's being blasé about laying off all these poor people.
Well, he got,
so I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I didn't get that from that scene. I just thought that, I thought that they were still taking the piss out of him. Oscar and Lucas.
Like yeah.
Oscar was being a dickhead. Oscar was stoned on edibles. Ebba was yeah. just like fuming in a British yeah. Scandinavian yeah, yeah. way.
I think Greg could be useful to them in a way that none of the other Roy family members are.
Maybe he'll be off at ATN by Lucas.
I could see him just joining some corner of Lucas's company and just getting a big payout. The other thing I could equally see is by next week, he has completely shoved that foot in his yeah. mouth and fucked things up for himself. But I'll tell you who else played a blinder this episode. We didn't see a lot of her, but Jerry.
Oh, it was a great scene.
I am sad that there's a feeling that she's winding down on the show, but I love that she decided that this firing was going to stick. You know,
yeah, Roman. She could quite easily have just taken. Well, I think she's just. I think she has clearly just been playing this game all along. She's kept everything. She's kept her own counsel, and she said it all there in like literally one breath, didn't she? I'm coming. I've got crisis. Kind of like PR people.
Reputation management.
Reputation management. I've got this, I've got that. I'm coming after you for hundreds of millions of dollars. And if you say anything untoward about me over the next 5 years, I will unleash a torrent of dick pics.
She's smart. I think, you know, I don't think she's a, you know, she's clearly no fool. I think this does feel, this has been ever since Logan died. I think this has been the play. I think she's figured out, look, these kids are morons.
Yeah.
They're never going to look out for me.
Yeah.
They're never going to... All I can do is get the deal through. And then I think when Roman sort of turned on her last episode, she realized, like, I'm going to have to get my nukes out. These people, the C-suite, you know, people think of them as sort of quite pushover-y. They are some of the most connected people in corporate America.
they are all, it's easy to forget, you know, we saw Carl with his Greek island. They're all multi-millionaires in their own rights. You know, they even though they're like number two or number three, they're still, like you say, top of the tree in terms of corporate America. But at the end, Frank very quickly was like, Ken, I'm not listening. Yada, yada, yada. I'm not listening. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about Kendall. He now is even pushing Shiv and Roman out.
Yeah.
And I think he's sort of starting to understand something that Lucas understands, something that Logan understood, which is it's actually not about planning one win. It's about planning 50 wins and hoping that two of them
land.
Work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lucas kind of, we really saw the mask slip, because it turns out he's been, you know, bluffing his numbers, but he seems utterly nonplussed about it, because I think he's like, look, I make shit up. Sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. Law of averages, I win. And I think the kids don't really understand that.
I thought he just exposed. I didn't see that confidence in him at all. I thought he panicked. You know, his whole demeanor changed.
Yeah.
Skarsgård played a blinder again. He plays him so well. He just really embodies that thing. And when Shiv kind of said to him, and he was like, oh, you mean India? He kind of, his whole posture kind of changed. And
yeah.
But I think he knows that he's kind of screwed. And the whole kind of like swagger, which is why he came out swinging for Kendall when they had that kind of set to in the kind of lounge. I think he's a lot more hurt than a lot more wounded by Eber, because he was like, he's expected it. You know, when Shiv cornered him, he was like, oh, Eber, Oscar, which one was
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, well, that's the thing I thought was interesting was when she said, look, I know about the numbers. And he's like, did Eber tell you what Oscar? Like, even Oscar's probably been blabbing about it. But I guess the reason he seems so rattled is this is the first time we've really seen him out of his comfort zone. Like, he's in their patch.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of like,
it's just money and gossip. It's just money. I get it. He's like,
it's
quite autistic in his approach to how he does things. And he's like, I see. If I'm nice to them, which is ironic, because he took the mick out of Shiv a couple of episodes where he's like, so if I give them more money, then the deal goes through. Like, and shit. Now he's like, oh, I get it. I just have to be nice to these people. And they do nice things. That's kind of.
It was very clever as well. I thought just the pure like fashion turning up in that sort of gold bomber jacket, like
gold leather, leopard skin bomber
kind jacket. It was almost like crocodile skin or something, and it was like
just a quick shout out to the Instagram account Succession in Fashion.
Do you follow this? No, I'm gonna follow them now.
Oh my god, it's amazing. So they go through every single outfit that every single person wears and tells you where it's from and what brand it is and how much it cost, like from sunglasses to jumpers to everything. And what's really interesting is Mattson's stuff is all really cheap. He just kind of like wears like, well, relatively cheap. So like, he wears like Adidas tracksuits and Falk Ravkin. What's that brand?
Oh, with the fox.
Yeah,
logo.
All of that knitwear on top of the mountain was from that, and they're like $150 a jumper. Whereas like Kendall's is all like $9,000 cashmere.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, it's so Mattson was in Adidas track pants.
For the air.
Jerry, Alexander McQueen, Shiv.
It's great.
Ralph Lauren. Wow. Oh, this is brilliant.
It's such a good Instagram account.
This is interesting. Cousin Greg at the retreat was wearing Uniqlo.
There you go. He started
I would wear that. 50 quid. Love. Okay, this is great. So yeah, if anyone listening who wants to follow is Succession Fashion.
Yeah.
And they said no, they don't do interviews. That's a shame. It's you'd imagine a lot of journalists would be like,
it's probably someone on the staff, to be fair.
Oh, I love that.
Well, it must be, surely. They get it up pretty quickly. You know, it's quite.
Also, how else would you know? Okay, that's really interesting. No, I thought this episode generally was, you know, the political stuff is sort of constantly in the background. That's why we had Nate come back, who was Shiv's fling. Shiv had an affair with him in season one.
It was really clever bringing him back, because it did two things. It undermined Ken's plan for kind of like doing the deal and, hey, we'll give you an easy ride for the first 100 days. It's like, oh, Mr. President, you do spoil me.
Yeah.
And, but it also, that, you know, the whole arc of, if there was an arc in this episode, it was the demasculation of Tom and bringing him literally to breaking point. And Nate was a great kind of way of doing that. And
Nate said something to Kendall where he said, like, I can't be seen here. This isn't good for me. Like, they think they're doing this kingmaking.
There was that other guy, wasn't there, behind, who they kept referring to, like another guy that was like, oh,
well, there was someone else that he was with, but the thing I picked up on was he mentioned Gil, who was the guy that Nate worked for in season one.
And Shiv.
Yes. And yeah. Gil was the older guy that dealt with, you know, him and Logan were like the old boys. And something that Nate did say was like, we're not Logan and Gil. Like, we're not them. And that's a good thing. This is the thing that you can do in this. This is a big transitional moment. It's like you can either continue doing things the way they've always been done, or you can see this as a circuit breaker.
Yeah.
Let's not play, not our fathers, because I know Gil's not Nate's father, but let's not do the things that the previous generation has done. Let's try and be better. Yeah. Let's break the wheel, essentially.
Exactly.
Ken seemed completely thrown by that. It was like, but the Dad always does a tailgate party. He always invites these 40 people. So where else do we want to talk? What else do we want to talk about? So we have about Jerry. We've talked about Greg.
I think
Roman's a good one to just quickly touch on.
Yeah, let's step into Roman. He had a weird one, I think.
All over the place.
He's, you know, I think the phrase that came to my mind, or the phrase that I wrote down, was like, you fuck about, you get found out. And he is just floundering a bit. He's just not really, he's kind of like, he's tied himself to Mencken, and is being the unofficial kind of like mouthpiece for Mencken speaking to Connor.
Yes,
which I think is going to play out badly for him.
Definitely,
because even Kendall, I think, you know, we had that scene with his wife, with his ex-wife,
Rava.
Rava at the beginning, his kids are getting bullied because of ATN. I was raising your daughter while you were running a racist news organization. I'm across 6 continents to make the world safe. All of that kind of stuff.
And that was just great, great reminder that, like, they are in a bubble, but other people feel the effects of their decisions and their behavior and things.
Precisely. So Roman leaning into Mencken is going to play out badly for him. And then there was the Jerry thing, which was a disaster for him.
You know, really rattled him.
On a personal level and on a professional level, even though he's got the blessing of Kendall, but I think Kendall is going to use that against him in the next episode. And I thought it was really interesting that he went after the speech at Logan's funeral.
I thought that was really interesting that Kendall relinquished it. You know, he was so high off his supply from last week. I thought there was going to be more, but that'll be interesting to explore. Interesting that Roman wants to do it. Kendall's sort of, because he's charting a new course, he doesn't feel the need to be his father's son in that official capacity. Whereas, and Shiv also has got this real sense that she doesn't know whose side she's on. Maybe Roman needs that more than ever because he's tried behaving like his father and it hasn't worked. You know, he said to Jerry, like, Dad fired you all the time. But what Logan didn't do to Jerry was send multiple hundreds of pictures of his genitals. He's kind of realized that there are boundaries. This family is also a business, and there are lots of complicated boundaries that bring to mind for me, like the Mission Impossible, like lasers everywhere. Like everything is meticulously cordoned off. Logan knew how to go down and out and to kind
really
of maneuver.
To navigate through.
The kids are just setting off all kinds of alarms because they can't separate the two.
The sacking thing that you mentioned is interesting because we had that was mirrored by Mattson as well with Oscar. Mm. It's like, oh, you sack me all the time. You're not going to sack me. You know, that kind of thing. It happened quite with Ebba as well. But with Jerry, it was kind of like, that's not going to wash with me because I'm old money. And
she's also like, I don't trust you. I'm not getting behind you. You know, you're not a leader. I don't believe this. You know, Logan, again, like, kind of the reason he is missed on this show is that you're like, they always had him playing some kind of game, some sort of strategy, some kind of system. There was always a sense of order, even in the chaos, even in the insults. And with the kids, there's just not a through line running through any of it. Shiv has really confidently hitched her wagon to Lucas. Mm. And she even said in the coat room, boardroom, as I've called it, she even said, look, I want a job out of this. I want the very, 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 very top job. And he's kind of was like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
She's kind of realized that like she's nothing to him and he will not even give her what she wants.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We're going to go for a break. And when we come back, let's get into the Tom and Shiv balcony scene.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to The Sound of Succession. We are discussing Season 4, Episode 7. I don't know what the title of it was called. It was just Tailgate Party.
Tailgate Party.
Yeah. Okay, so quite a bitty episode. Bits and pieces and flashes of brilliance, but it really, really felt like it was saving. It was saving itself for the last kind of 10 minutes, really. And it all kind of, for me, it all started off with this.
There are maybe 40 of the most important people in America, and you have just walked all around all evening telling them all that I'm going to get fired.
No, it was implied lightly as a little part of a tactical kind of joke.
Tactical joke.
And
then we get the impression that all throughout the party, everyone was kind of like making these asides. And then Lucas, with his kind of like non-filter, just came out and said this.
You're kissing my ass.
No, no? I'm not kissing your ass, Lucas. You're too smart. You spotted a mile off.
Hey, I'm about to take a shit in your husband's mouth and I'm pretty sure he's going to tell me it tastes like Coco Man.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
No, but seriously, it's a really, really nice place.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Who'll get to keep it in the divorce?
Greg laughing at just a little bit too loudly there. So what did you make of I guess right at the beginning, one of the first scenes we saw Tom making breakfast, or rather Tom, the butler, making breakfast and Tom taking the credit for it.
Yeah, yeah.
They've made up. There was discussion of like, oh, we'll just tell people we were on a break and it's all good.
Yeah.
They're clearly enjoying each other's company a lot, as the text messages said.
He was sexting while Greg fired all those people. She said, is your dick too broken after I wrote it for so long? And he's like, nope. Even when she's sexting him, she's sort of like, I've broken you. It's so deep. Anyway.
And the scorpion gift was weird, right? Do you think Tom meant that with any intentional malice?
No.
Or if it was just like a subliminal thing? I think it was kind of funny.
I think a couple of things about the scorpion. I think first of all, when you have that kind of money, things mean nothing.
Well, the watch. Tom bought the watch for Logan in the
Tom bought the watch for Logan.
Yeah.
Connor bought like Churchill's dick or some artifact. You remember, there's all these kind of mummified, like, whatever it was. Yeah, yeah. I'm just spitballing. There's no sentimentality to anything because nothing means anything to them, because nothing is on the scale. You know, you could buy a Greek island, half a Greek island, and it's like, okay, now what? You know, so what I think on some, this? I think gifting has always been like difficult for them. I think in terms of the actual like scorpion itself, I think Tom thinks he's being clever, and I think Shiv sees a scorpion and is just like, no, I get it, but like, why are you giving me this? This is the thing that is, because also it's not even her birthday. It's not an anniversary. So she's kind of like
a reconciliation gift.
Yeah. But also, I mean, you know, you look at the box, you look at the wrapping. I mean, this is hundreds of pounds, maybe more, thousands, right? It's like
thousands. It would be like a paperweight. It would have been the last of its kind scorpion, the last on Earth.
It's like a paperweight, right? Like you kind of just put it on. I just thought it was a really interesting way to communicate, like, there's nothing he can get her. He can't even buy her like a Ralph Lauren jumpsuit because she's like, well, I have them. I have some. Or you don't know my size, or I wouldn't wear that. Or, you know, if he bought her, like, I know Tom is not as rich as these guys, but if he buys her a yacht, she's like, well, I could buy a yacht.
Yeah.
What is you getting this for me doing? And but yeah, so I thought that was an interesting marital almost bliss in that they were sort of reconciled. But yeah, interesting to sort of compare, though, like when everybody was upset about being fired at ATN, Tom was doing the crying, you know, eyes like that. And then when he finds out that he's on the chopping block, he's like, this is the worst thing anyone's done to anyone. But I think for Tom, he really thought he'd got into this upper echelon of society and he got in through marriage, but he's also worked up the corporate ladder. And I think to find out that everyone there immediately sees him as the person that doesn't belong is really gets to him.
Yeah. Even Kendall and Rome were like, go Tom. Yeah. We got your back, bro. And he was just like, oh, great. You know.
What
was his job before when we first met Tom? What did he do? Has he always been at AT? No, was he not on cruises?
He was managing resorts, South and Central.
Which means like,
so not even like all the resorts. Tom and Shiv, unexpectedly for me, are the sort of lifeblood of this season. They haven't been the focal point of the drama for quite a long time, but on this season, they're every episode there's a gut punch, and we got such a huge gut punch in this episode. They finally had the big row.
They cleared the air, Chris, let's be honest. They were just clearing the air. It's like, it was brutal, right?
Yeah. And he still doesn't know she's pregnant. I kept thinking, this is when she's going to drop it.
Wait, exactly. So this was the moment. This was it.
I think you are incapable of love. And I think you are maybe not a good person to have children.
Well, that's not very nice to say, is it?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you have hurt me more than you can possibly imagine.
And you? You took away the last 6 months I could have had with my dad.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. You sucked up to him and you cut me out.
It's not my fault that you didn't get his approval.
Oof. I mean, I don't know if you've ever cleared the air with Mr. Mandel, but it rarely unearths, you know, it rarely picks a scab that deep, right?
You mean Mr. Mandel meaning my dad or?
No, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hasn't taken my name yet, but there's plenty of time for that, just in case he's listening. That conversation was harrowing.
Yeah.
And they got a lot off their chest. Now, the Shiv comment about, because of you, I didn't get to see my dad. I've never really thought of that as a big thing for her to be grappling with, but yeah,
I think that just came out of nowhere.
Well, I was trying to think, you know, obviously she's spitballing, but like, it's been 3 months since the season 3 finale, right? Yeah. It was a few months, so I'm kind of like, 6 months, that's come out of nowhere. But her point is that she seems to really resent the fact that him dobbing on the kids in the season 3 finale is what meant she hasn't seen much of him.
Yeah.
He kind of says, you know, The two things can happen simultaneously. You can be cut out of the company and your dad might not love you.
Well, he said, he went on and he said this, which I thought was really, really good. How is that? You can, I don't know, listeners can tell I've worked out how to play clips on this now. this, for me, said it all.
You want to actually clear the air? Fine. You betrayed me.
You were going to see me get sent to fucking prison, Shiv. And then you fobbed me off with that fucking undrinkable wine and you won't have my baby because you never even thought, honestly, you'd be with me more than like 4 fucking years.
I mean, you can't argue with any of that, to be fair.
No.
All of this argument, you know, the mud slung from both sides was valid mud, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we saw last season the stuff about prison. It was played as a joke, but legitimately, Shiv was like, you should go to jail. And I might not be here when you get back. And I think, but the repeated jabs about children were incredibly barbed. And Shiv still didn't drop the bomb that she's pregnant.
Exactly. But they really cut her. Like,
they did.
She said, well, that's, you know, she, you know, all of the kind of like foul language and stuff that they were saying. When he said that, I don't think you're the right person to have children. She would, well, that's not a very nice thing to say.
Yeah,
is it?
She gets
really stung her.
Yeah, sometimes when she's hurt, she does speak like a child. Like this, that's not very nice. She gets into this real, like, she's almost stunned. She's too stunned to actually come out with anything clever or anything wounding. It's just, I can't believe you would say that to me. And obviously the layer of irony is we know she is currently pregnant and she may well have a child, and to bring a child into the world when someone has told that to you is horrifying. But it made me think that the child, it may never get mentioned. She may never tell anyone.
But this is what I said last week.
This is what you said last week. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just going to be a cloud that will just leave us guessing. We'll be hoping for,
and it's the permanent question mark is, what will happen to that child? And what kind of world are they going to be born into? The other thing that she brought up, which I sort of forgot, is that she said, you proposed to me when my father was dying, which was episode 2. They got unofficially engaged in episode 2 of the show.
In the hospital.
Which I've completely forgot.
Yeah, she wasn't happy about it at the time, was it? And even people were kind of, I seem to remember like Kendall and Rome just like, what, now? Really? You're doing this now? It's like, you know, it's a bit of a faux pas, isn't it? It's the same as getting engaged at someone else's wedding, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, and I think part of us could maybe even say of Tom, you're no fool. Like, you need to get in now because, like, Logan might be going.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we knew with the foresight that Logan was going to be around for many years. But the argument was just some of the most incredible acting from those two. But I'm just constantly struck by the fact that the only like romantic relationship is not the most effective way to describe Tom and Shiv, but their relationship is the only one of its kind on the show. Willa and Connor maybe, but they're not really in the show as much. There's real stakes because you can walk away from this. You can walk away from the relationship in a way that you can't walk away from your family. And yet they are constantly drawn back to each other. And
well, they didn't even, you know, they still stayed in the same, under the same roof.
They're still staying there tonight by all accounts, by the looks of things. Yeah. One question I have, wasn't addressed in this episode. Who's looking after that poor dog while everyone's at the party?
It must have been in a crate, still in the kitchen, just like with maybe Greg was tasked. With,
so
like,
noisy.
Slipping a bonio in every now and then. Maybe
and giving the dog a biscuit.
maybe Oscar fed him an edible. Who knows?
I just thought, poor dog, it'd be so noisy. You know, they can get a bit stressed when there's a lot.
Maybe they moved everything into storage because I didn't see the iMac on the bedroom counter anywhere either.
I know. It's funny. It's funny. I think when we saw that earlier in the season, we were like, God, what a great bonkers townhouse. In this episode, because there were so many people, it looked so claustrophobic and tight and condensed. And, but, you know, there was only like 40, 50 people in there, right? And it's like, I can get 30 people in this one bedroom flat. Yeah. And it's doable.
I think it's an interesting observation, actually, because when you're not rich and you have a party, you dream of hiring out a place.
Yeah.
It's like, I imagine if we could like hire out the rooftop at yada yada.
Yeah, the Shard or whatever.
Yeah. And that's like a bit of a pipe dream. But then I've been invited to a few like rich people parties and they always have them in their homes. It's utterly bizarre.
Mm.
And rather than like say, oh, I've just rented out the Ivy for a night or I've taken out the top floor of Shoreditch House and I've got the whole bowling alley, blah, 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 blah. They have them in their house. And I think it's a real weird flex of intimacy, of fake intimacy.
Yeah, yeah. But where also I like, think their relationship to their home is not the same as ours.
Yeah, but I've been to rich people's where that's not the case, where it's still their home. And their kids are kind of like just in the next room watching telly. And it's kind of weird. And they've got caterers in, and they've got all the rest, and it's a big old thing. Like, and it's just like, well, why have you done it here? This is really strange. Because I wouldn't, my first thought would be, I'm not having all these people in my house.
No.
You know? These aren't family. It's not like a family. It's not like a 40th
birthday. But also, yeah, it's a bit like, I guess when you're catering, when you have even just a cleaner coming in to fix it the next day.
Yeah.
It's a temporary setup that you can very quick, it's like an etch-a-sketch. You just wipe it and then it's like.
I thought
like,
that when Shiv and Tom were lying in bed, I was like, there must be so much mess there. Is that all gone? That must be like the stress of having to wake up and deal with like, cups 50, and, 50 yeah. dirty champagne glasses
like
blocking the dishwasher.
And like, oh, yeah. Someone's the foil from the lid of the wine. Someone's put it in the sink and I can't get it out. And
Yeah.
I always get really, oh my God, yeah. Well, when I have a house party, I'm always like, look, I've got a bin bag in the hall for empties. And then someone's just chucked it in the bin that has the food, you know. And I'm like, oh, for goodness sake, now the bin won't close. And now the door won't close on the bin cupboard. And you think, for goodness sake.
Everyone out.
Get out. Yeah.
Hopefully your issues may be like appeased by what happens in episode 8. Because I think it's just a set to for this one. Should we do our trailer watch?
Let's
so we're going in now, watching the preview for
America Decides. That's the
information. It's like a bottle of fine wine. You save it for a special occasion, and then you smash someone's face in with it.
This could be the most important election in our lifetime.
Ugh, I feel sick.
Oh, why? It's fun. It's only spicy because if my team wins, they're gonna shoot your team.
Give me some sugar, man.
Maybe everyone voted for me. We don't know.
Schrodinger's cat.
Schrodinger's cat, Tom. This is crazy.
We all want to stop Madsen, right?
Mm-hmm. Every vote must be counted. This is about the future of the country.
False flag.
You can't just say false flag
false
every time
flag.
You don't fucking agree
false
with
flag.
Something.
Looks good.
Looks good. Looks tense. Looks like it's all going to take place in the ATN building, by the looks of things.
It's really interesting that it seems very, people are on different sides. It feels like that's notable that Shiv has backed, oh my God, I'm Googling this. What's the name of the left candidate?
Daniel Jimenez?
Yes, I'm sure he was mentioned last season as like maybe a Hispanic or a Mexican president-elect. That was all very exciting, I think, but I can't remember. Yeah, I think the politics stuff on Succession is hard. I think it's very hard when you're this late in the game I think the show threads the needle very well. And I think the thing at the top of this episode where Rava was saying, like, look, the things you're doing are having an impact on everyone around you.
Yeah.
You know, the show's good at that without making it about politics. So really excited for that.
There's some good glances from Kendall to Greg there as well across the newsroom. I don't know whether that was like an editing thing or not, or what was going on there. But
I do think these trailers are really well edited, and sometimes,
yeah, true.
They know how to
not to the
But
let's see. Okay, three more. The end is in sight. We've got an election, we've got a funeral, and we've got a finale. That's not a bad trilogy of episodes to come, is it?
I can't wait.
Exciting times.
I'm really looking forward to the funeral. That's going to be really, really exciting.
There you go. Ray of sunshine. thanks so much for listening, everybody. Get in touch at dragoncast_pod or email dragoncast@daftdoris.com. We are aware that we are woefully behind with our Thrones rewatch.
Yes.
You know, IRL has stuck a stick in the spokes, but we'll get back onto it.
It's just been a bit of a week.
It's been a lot.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
I hope you enjoy it, and we will see you. We will see you next week. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel. It's part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us. You know what to do. Like and subscribe. Ah, fuck off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.